So that brings us to our first objective for this series. Our first objective is this: love is patient. Love is patient. So the subtitle for today's message is one word: long-suffering. Long-suffering. Turn a page to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Church, when we abound in biblical love, we are patient. When we abound in biblical love, we are patient. I got one amen the first time, no amens the second time. All right. Let me give you the definition of that word patient. Patient means long-tempered. You know, we talk about being short-tempered. Patient is to be long-tempered. To be patient is to be slow in anger. Slow in anger. It is to be slow to punish. Slow to punish. Slow to avenge. Or we like to say get revenge. Slow to avenge ourselves. Patient. It is to be long-tempered, slow in anger, slow to punish, slow to avenge. It is to defer one's anger. It is to defer one's anger. In other words, I'm not going to be mad. I could be mad, but I defer. It is to be long-suffering. That's what patient means, to be long-suffering. That is enduring and bearing with others. Enduring and bearing with others. When we love, we are patient, long-tempered, long-suffering. That's why 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, charity or love suffereth long. In other words, it is long-suffering. When I abound in biblical love, that means that I am long-tempered, slow to get angry, slow to get angry at the behavior of others. I am slow to punish others for what they have done. I am long-suffering. Why is patience so important? It is because through patience, we demonstrate God's unconditional love. Amen. It is through patience that we demonstrate God's unconditional love. In fact, one of the greatest aspects of God's love is his long-suffering. Because the Bible says that he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is long-suffering with this world. He is patient. He is slow to punish. Why? Because he does not want men to perish. So when I am patient, I demonstrate God's unconditional love because I do not allow the conduct of others to change who I am or what I do. Amen. When I'm patient, amen, I demonstrate God's unconditional love because I do not allow the conduct of others to change who I am or what I do. Amen. I continue to do good toward others. Amen. I continue to seek the welfare of others, even when they have offended me. Amen. Even when they have annoyed and frustrated me. Even when they have hurt or disappointed me. I still seek their welfare. In other words, I subdue those feelings. I defer. Defer that anger so that I can extend goodwill. That is what it means to be patient. And see, it's important that we understand this because some of us think that we are patient because we aren't yelling at the top of our lungs and we're not throwing dishes. But truth be told, we are not patient because we don't continue to seek the welfare of others after they have offended us. So we are not patient. And our lack of patience is damaging to the work that God has called us to do. See, we have to understand that impatience causes us to move on too quickly. See, we don't keep our commitment to God for very long because people frustrate us. We witness to somebody one time, two times, a few times. They don't respond the way we think they should respond. We're frustrated. We're disappointed. So we move on. That's impatience. See, I have decided to no longer seek the welfare of someone because they have frustrated me. Impatience causes us to move on too quickly. See, that's what I hear oftentimes. Pastor, they just don't listen. I tried talking to them. I tried helping them. I tried telling them to change. They just won't listen. Well, how long have you been ministering to them? Oh, for a few months. That's impatient. That's impatient. Because it's amazing if we look at our lives. That's amazing because some of us, many of us, it took decades for us to get right. Not days, not weeks, not months, not even years. For some of us, it took us decades to get right. Mama suffered long with us for decades. Daddy suffered long with us for decades. Granddaddy suffered long with us for decades. For some of us, it took so long for us to get right, and yet we don't have 6 months worth of witnessing in us. We are impatient. So we just move on. And we have moved on from a lot of people who could be drawn to Christ if we just were patient. We were long-suffering with them. Amen. Impatience causes us to move on too quickly. Impatience causes us to be wishy-washy. You know what it means to be wishy-washy? Our credibility is destroyed in the eyes of those we are trying to witness to, so people don't listen to us. See, yesterday I told you about the goodness of God, but today I'm not screaming or yelling, I'm not throwing dishes, but I cuss you out because you made me mad. Now, I know nobody in here cusses. Amen. I know nobody in From the Heart Church Ministries of Cincinnati cusses. This is just a hypothetical situation. But we are wishy-washy. Our impatience causes us to act out of our feelings and out of our emotions. And so we lose credibility in the eyes of the unbeliever. Church, do you realize that unbelievers try to make you mad? You do realize that, don't you? They try to make you mad, and we fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. And they try to make us mad for the same reason we did the same thing when we were unsaved, because we didn't want somebody to tell us we needed to get it right and we needed to give our life to Christ. We didn't want to hear any of that. So we thought, if I just make them mad, then I could say, well, you just talking nonsense. Our impatience causes us to be wishy-washy. Impatience causes us to move on too quickly. It causes us to be wishy-washy. And impatience causes us to become indifferent to the work of God. Causes us to become indifferent to the work of God. Lukewarm Christians. See, we get so annoyed at the weakness, shortcomings, and failures of others that eventually we lose all interest in helping others. We just become indifferent, lose our zeal, and our Christian walk becomes all about us. These people just get on my nerves. I'm tired of these folks acting crazy. I can't be bothered with all this foolishness. I'm just going to focus on me and my relationship with the Lord. Lord, it's just me and you. That's all that matters. Even though the Word of God teaches us the exact opposite, everything that we are to be as Christians is in community with each other, in relationship with each other. We are to help each other. We are to be in a oneness with each other. All through the New Testament, that's all you see, the instructions for the church. And yet we say, God, it's just me and you. Nobody else matters. I just have to get my relationship together. But I'm not trying to get that relationship together to do anything for anybody else. Why? Because I'm impatient. I'm annoyed at all of the things that I have experienced. See, it's okay, because I used to be a deserted island Christian myself. You know, just me and God on a deserted island. And I thought I was just so on fire for the Lord, just as lukewarm as I wanted to be. But I just thought I had all this zeal, but I had no desire to do anything that was really important to God, all because of impatience. Church, biblical love cannot be displayed when we are impatient. Biblical love cannot be displayed when we are impatient. See, we can do a lot of nice things, say a lot of nice things, give a lot of nice things, but when we are impatient, our irritation, our annoyance, our disappointment will cause us to miss the mark every time. Your Bible should be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 14 and 15. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 and 15. Again, as I said earlier, Paul writes to this young church at Thessalonica. And they were not young in age. They were young in spiritual maturity. So this is a letter of praise and thanksgiving, and it's a letter of encouragement. Paul wants to encourage them on how they should live. So here in chapter 5, Paul brings the letter to a close by instructing these faithful Christians on how to live in light of expecting Jesus' return. So he starts by telling them to be watchful. He lets them know Jesus, when he returns, is going to be sudden and unexpected. So you are to be watchful. As Christians, you're not to be asleep. That is, you are to be aware of the spiritual realities that are around you. Paul then admonishes them to be respectful of their spiritual leadership and to be at peace among themselves. And that brings us to verse 14. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men." What is Paul saying here? He starts in verse 14 by saying, "We exhort you." That is, we urge you, admonish you. And we admonish you to do three things. He says, we admonish you first to warn the unruly. To warn the unruly. Amen. That word warn doesn't mean to yell or scream. It just simply means to caution gently or to put in mind. To caution gently or to put in mind. That word unruly is a military term. It's a military term, and it means those who are unruly are those who break rank, who march out of step, the disorderly, the lazy, the idle, the undisciplined. So Paul is saying, I want you to gently remind those who are out of step of what they've been taught. See, you're going to have some unruly people among you. You can't lose patience with them. You must still love them. So you must gently remind them of what they have been taught, those who are out of step. Then he goes on to say, comfort the feeble-minded. And that word feeble-minded means faint-hearted. And it actually means small-souled. Those who are small-souled, those who are timid or lacking courage. So he says, caution those who are unruly. Gently remind those who are out of step. with what they have been taught. Then comfort the faint of heart, those who are timid, those who are